Welcome to the Inner Fight Endurance Podcast. With great pleasure to say, episode 200.
Yeah.
Big party in here.
Push the sound effects button.
Champagne.
What's wrong with clapping and stuff?
I don't know which
one.
Come
on.
200 episodes, still haven't got it.
This is why you're never in charge of the soundboard.
Nope.
Your arms aren't long enough to even reach it.
Hey, we haven't podcasted together for a while.
I was thinking actually that when we were swimming. A few hours ago.
So you weren't thinking about your stroke, your technique, nothing about that.
I was thinking about the podcast.
Wondered why you dropped back by over 20 seconds.
Harsh. I was taking my full rest.
Wait, you've been on holiday in Maldives, I think?
What do you mean? I'm so confused.
You haven't. You've been working hard, trail camps, watching big Backyard Ultras live.
That
for
was
four
good.
Days.
Did you enjoy? You watched that. I got it.
Did I? Because I don't think I was watching what you were
I had
watching.
A WhatsApp message from you saying, I cannot understand the leaderboard of Big's Backyard Ultra leaderboard. I can't understand it. And also, the YouTube link isn't working. I can't understand that either. I can't even talk.
Plus, in the results page I was looking at, Courtney DeWalter DNF'd.
Yeah. Your results page was the wrong... No, the results page you're on was the wrong year.
2021.
And the YouTube stream you're on was about 40 hours too early. So we were on hour 80 and you were looking at hour 21 to 27 or something.
I was very confused by it all. Should we jump to there first, mate?
Yes.
Give us some stats.
Some stats. The previous record was 101 hours for this format, so 6.7K on the hour, every hour. It was actually 102 hours. And we had on Sam Harvey in the summer talking about that. He came, if you like, he was the assist in that race. Went to 108 hours this time round.
It's really hard to get your head around.
Pretty much 5 days of non-stop running / racing. Sorry, my microphone just fell out of its holder. Tom's gone. He's gone.
We're meant to know what we're doing now. 200 episodes in.
So why we don't podcast together. Anyway, 5 days of non-stop running or racing. Stop it.
Jeez.
Oh dear. Anyway, the Inner Fight Endurance guys, we had Keith Russell from Ireland and Jivi Tolentino, also lives in Ireland, but he's from the Philippines. They were racing as part of the Inner Fight Endurance team. And yeah, to be in the company of the people that were racing is just astounding in itself. But to put out the numbers those guys did was phenomenal as well.
We had another guest on the show who was taking part as well, right?
John Stocker, we interviewed a few years ago. Yeah, he dropped out pretty early on. Not sure how many hours he did though, but pretty early.
And you've done one of these.
Yeah, nowhere near. I dropped out after first time I did it was 24 hours and the second time was 23.
Was both times at Alcudra?
It was Alcudra, yeah. So you have a day loop and a night loop, and generally the day loop and the night loops are different. So the one that they did in America now for the Big's Backyard, the day loop, I believe, was on tarmac, but the night loop was all through trail, and it had 500 feet of rolling elevation. So pretty tough when you start adding up the numbers that these guys are running, how much elevation they got for the full weekend and week.
And week, yeah. Oh, it's mad. The human mind can take you to some incredible places if you push it enough.
Yeah. And you think like some of these guys are coming in maybe 44, 45 minute average laps. So they're getting 15 minutes of rest. And some of them are coming in 57, 58 minutes. So they're only getting 3 minutes of rest. Mm. And then you compound that over the 3-4 days and it makes huge differences in, that's what I was showing you on the right hand column of that results page, just how much time they'd actually been physically running versus resting. And it was, you know, 10 hours different in some cases and even more.
Yeah. It wasn't even an element I actually had thought of. I didn't really understand what that column meant until you explained it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's amazing the difference actually. So there's such a tactics to racing a race like that.
Mm. And you think, because if you come in at 44 minutes, you've got 15 minutes where you might be able to get 10 minutes of sleep, which after 3 days of running could make a huge difference. But then they put out an interesting stat on the Facebook page that it's always the guys that are in the 50s that win these events. I don't know how true that is. As in, they have average times of 50 minutes and plus per lap. So it's not the quicker guys that last over time. It's the slower guys that last.
Critical speed. Being in charge of Jivi. How do you train someone to run that long, that far?
I can't remember who I was saying this to, but he's probably someone that I've given the most run volume to in my life, and he soaked it all up. I tried to crack him in training, and I told him I'd try and crack him, but he would not crack.
What's an example then of what's the hardest week you gave him?
I think there was one week where he had over 250K of running, and most of that was condensed into the weekends.
Whoa.
So he would do long, long simulation weekends. He has a full-time job. He'd finish his full-time job on a Friday. I'd get him to run, take 3 or 4 hours rest, then go and run again, then spend Saturday with his kids, then run again throughout Saturday night, get up Sunday, run again, and he got Sunday afternoon off.
Yeah, two nights, huh? Sunday afternoons.
And yet, what I did as well, this is interesting. So the lap is 6.7. We'd have him do, 7.3K loops on the hour, every hour. So he was running further distance than he needed to and still trying to hit the same times. So he was getting different stress because he found a loop with elevation that he had run, but I wanted him to run a little bit harder than he needed to because the time domain was shorter than he would be racing. And he did, what did he get? 81 hours he ran for.
Mad.
115K PB. That blows the mind. Blows the mind.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Over to you. How are you getting on post Spartathlon?
Good. I'm back running, swimming,
yeah,
and cycling.
Yeah.
All of them. All three. And CrossFitting.
CrossFitting.
We CrossFit together.
Well, we used to, but today you didn't.
I did 2 weeks. And then I decided to ditch you. You don't lift enough. More than Andy.
Yeah. Where were you today?
I went early. Trained early.
You'll let down.
That's why my swim suffered, because of all the cleaning jerks.
And the thinking of whatever you were thinking about.
And thinking about podcasting, yeah.
Yeah. So legs feel all right?
So good. We'll test them tomorrow at track.
Toenails?
See, toenails are they're new. They're about halfway back. So I tell you what, that feels weird. Running downhill at the weekend, we had a trail running camp, and descending the mountain downhill, I could feel, instead of feeling toenails, I could feel the skin coming up onto the new nail, which was a really weird feeling across all my toes, which I've not felt that before. Because you lose one or two nails, that's fine, but you lose all of them and they all grow back at the same time.
Oh.
It's not comfortable. I wouldn't advise it.
If I was listening, I'd switch off for that. And what's coming up?
What is coming up? What are we racing? You're coming to this as well. We've got the Himam Trail Race next.
I'm being very non-committal.
Yeah, you're being
very... I'll be somewhere.
I was trying to rope you into the 50. You said you might do 20, but you're definitely mountain biking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'll have a crack at 20. Going to Kenya this week, so...
You are.
That'll either make me or break me.
What a... So you've been to Kenya a few times. Is this the third year back-to-back?
Third year. Yeah.
What are you hoping to get from this one that you haven't yet experienced at the other two?
Oh.
Because you've ticked off all the big things, haven't you, really?
I think...
So what's going to be different?
What I love about it is there's something... You learn something different every time, as long as your mind's open to it. I think this time going, I'm like in the least best running shape I have been for it. So I'm not thinking, oh, I hope I can keep up with any sort of people. I'm just thinking I'm going to go and just run and... run in fresh air and beautiful places, ask some questions, but you mainly just watch and open your mind to what you're looking at and thinking, could I use anything there? Or maybe they do that way because they've always done it that way. That's probably not the best way you would do it with like the kind of athletes we coach. But sometimes they have absolutely golden things that you're like, yeah, we can use that. So it's a very hard question to answer because you don't know until you get there.
Do you see progression year on year when you go? Do you see they're evolving and moving with the times?
Probably not qualified to answer that, only having been twice before. But I mean, they all have better kit. Some I'm not sure if The weightlifter's still running around in his weightlifting suit, possibly. We bought Marcus a Kenyan weightlifting suit last time, but he still hasn't worn it.
He said he's waiting for hundreds. A hundred hasn't been programmed in Trek Tuesday yet. When that is programmed, he will come in his weightlifting suit.
We have to. Where is Oakley?
You're in charge of programming.
Bolden used to do. Yeah, I'm just excited to go back there and just be in that place. Even when you go to the old track that's no longer a used track in Iten, you stand there and you can just imagine the greats running around it, like back in the day. And Skinny's dad used to run around that track. So you just stand there and watch.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then you think, how can this not be a functioning track in the best running town in the world? And then you're reminded that you're in Africa.
Yeah. Are you staying in exactly the same places?
Same room.
Same room?
Everything.
Excellent.
Everything the same. Skinny gets his cot. Me and Marcus get the two double beds.
Very good luxury.
If there's warm water this time, we'll be annoyed. Yeah.
Amazing. Looking forward to hearing about it when you come back and talk about it on the podcast.
Yes, we will do the show.
Good.
Himam was the Oman race you got next then?
Yes.
You've just done a camp this last weekend.
We did. We had a camp up in the mountains. It was lots of steep hills, running in the dark, really technical terrain on the ascent and descent. We actually think it was more technical than the last time we ran it. I think it was rockier. We recall running down the hill last time, but that wasn't possible this time. It was very, very, very steep, which is perfect training for the rugged, barren Omani mountains. Mm. And we have another camp in 2 weeks' time, the 10th, 11th of November, and we'll be focusing on the Himam Trail Race. So again, it'll be lots of ascent and descent technical training, running in the night, sleeping over and eating barbecue. You don't do that during the race, but we'll practice that as well.
Practice. Because the 100Kers are definitely going to be running in darkness.
They definitely run through darkness. If you're really, really slow at the 55, you might end up in darkness.
A little bit of dusk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely the hills are steep. The terrain is rugged. It is technical. So if you're efficient at hiking, you can do very, very well. And if you're inefficient at hiking, then you will struggle.
Best head torch for running in darkness?
I like the brand Petzl, unaffiliated.
Not
my backup
mag
is
light and a duct tape, roller duct tape.
My backup is a Carrefour Energizer.
I knew it'd be good.
True, it's actually one of the best head torches I've ever had. It was a 20 dirham head torch I got from Carrefour.
And do you want one with replaceable batteries or one you charge?
I have a rechargeable replacement battery.
There you know.
It lasts a good 9 hours. Not many do that.
Rechargeable replacement.
When I researched it, I went for one with the maximum length of time between charges, because that's what you want. You want one that you're not going to have to charge through the night. Most people race these long races in the summer months, don't they? So the nighttime sections are not as long, so you can get away with a head torch that doesn't need as much battery.
Mm. The one I have, you can put batteries in or a rechargeable battery.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite cool.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of them do that.
Never used
it. Never used it.
Excellent. And hopefully people listen to the show last week, 2 weeks ago, with Steph, fresh off Amsterdam Marathon. And in there we teased that a spring marathon was coming.
Yes.
We can now announce Milano.
Milano, spring marathon. Inner Fight Endurance is going to Milan.
Exactly. Get your gelato ready. We're coming in.
How much do you know about Milan Marathon?
Me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, me neither. Yeah. Should have researched that.
I think it's a flat one, and it's going to be, I think it's similar to Amsterdam in terms of the amount of people that do it. So the atmosphere will be very good. And it falls perfectly within the holiday time as well. So tell your boss.
Boss, get the time off. Do you know what's good? That sort of marathon or that time of marathon is perfect for us because we have all of winter to train.
It's amazing.
Peak time to train in the UAE.
Yeah.
It will keep you accountable over the Christmas holidays. Oof. So you can put the sausage rolls down, get the protein oats back out.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Thanks. Maybe stay off the Prosecco. Get the precision hydration out.
Is this a self-talk or what?
Yeah, you can order Hoka's for Christmas. Yeah, see.
Yeah.
It's perfect timing.
It is actually perfect timing. You've got the best period of the weather here to train through. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, spring in Europe is still pretty fresh.
Yeah. And actually, it's a great time of year as well because of all the build-up races that we have in the UAE that you could use to test your paces for that race.
True. Like Dubai Marathon, you mean?
If you want to do a full marathon before Milan, you could do. Yeah.
When are you entering Dubai Marathon?
I had a look this morning. It's $150.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The 10K is $85.
Why aren't we working in dirhams?
I don't know. It's in dollars, but $150.
I think it's stranger that we're not working in dirhams, to be honest, but what is that, like 400? Mm. So is that a no from you?
I don't know. I haven't decided on a marathon yet.
If you want to sponsor you Rob Jones.
Looking at me like I should be running a hard marathon. Leave me alone.
Come on.
I'm going to do the Xterra race.
Yeah.
I've definitely signed up for that.
March 3rd.
March 3rd, we'll be doing an off-road triathlon. That's very exciting. And actually, if you go the day before, you said we have to do the trail run as well.
Yeah, there's a trail run on the Friday evening and then race day on Saturday or possibly Thursday evening, race day Friday. Not sure with a man.
It's back to back anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely good we'll do to that. Do on the
and
bands.
So if you fancy a trail race or an off-road triathlon, actually what they do have as well is relay races.
Yeah.
So if you can swim, but you can't bike and you can't run.
Yeah.
Don't know who that would apply to, but you could find two of your friends and you could do the relay section.
Last year we jumped off the back of a ferry to start the swim.
Yes. Yeah. I remember you talking about that.
It's really cool.
That's very cool. I hope they do that again.
Yeah. We'll see. It didn't work out quite how they hoped, I think.
Why?
Well, people jumped in and then there was no start line. And then they were like, go. And everyone was scattered all over the place.
Okay.
So it was, yeah, they need to make sure there's a start line.
I think you should be on the boat and they go 3, 2, 1, go. And the start is everyone diving in off
the
boat.
Yeah, but there's a safety to that. They're only letting us jump in 5 at a time or something.
Oh, boring.
Yeah. Anyway, it's in a place called Kasab, mm-hmm. which is Musandam, which is a little bit of Oman, like off the tip of
North Peninsula, isn't
it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful place. And then the next day we went and did a dolphin tour, which is cool. Pretty cool to watch. Yeah. It's called the Fjords of Arabia. Yeah, there's some great history around there. So I think honestly it was one of the best weekends of the year. So if you can get hold of a mountain bike, you enjoy trail running and you can swim, put it on your list.
Or even if you can't get hold of a mountain bike, you can't swim but you can run, there is just the trail run option as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Friday. Yeah. Good. You're going to beat me on that?
No.
Come on.
No.
I need you to have a goal.
I'm not committing to anything. It's fine. Relax.
Okay.
I'm better than you at CrossFit so far. We'll figure out the rest as we go along.
For sure. Yeah. I agree with you there.
What are we talking about for show 200?
Well, I thought we would give away the secret answer to making sure your endurance training is successful at all times.
So hard to guarantee success in endurance training.
Yeah. People probably think, oh, that's not possible, but it is. You just have to unlock or understand this one thing and you will be successful
one
in your
thing.
Training.
Understand just one thing.
I reckon.
Okay.
I have multiple ways this can go.
Right.
People like braced for this. I talked about this a little bit when we were at the Thrill Seeker event. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? And actually, one of the things I see when I'm in Kenya is this. Starts with a P.
I was leaving a dramatic pause. Starts with a P.
Purpose.
Purpose. I looked at your notes on the podcast for this. I didn't see that P anywhere.
I think when you can have, I think if you've got purpose in your training, and that doesn't mean winning or PB times, it literally means that you understand why you're going to your training, you are going to guarantee success for yourself. And I think this is such an important topic, and which is why we're doing it for show 200. It actually carries through all of life. You've got to have a purpose in your day, in your work, in your family, in anything you're doing, and suddenly it will become far, far maybe easier and more enjoyable. If we're not training with purpose, I think we can say you are just exercising.
Mm.
And it's shown time and time again in research that people who are training with a goal are far more likely to complete the plan other than people who are in commas exercising, who are training without a goal. What do you think?
I had that exact conversation yesterday.
Tell us.
Sitting with a client having a coffee, and we're discussing how to keep accountability towards training because they're working 70 plus hours a week at the moment. And he said to me, I need to sign up for a race because I know then if I have that looming in the background, when I get up in the morning, instead of scrolling through Instagram, chilling, reading, relaxing, I'll go out and do my 30, 40 minute run, whatever I need to do. And if I don't have that race, then I won't.
Mm.
So he signed up for the race. And let's see if he does the training in the next few weeks. He should do, because he's quite motivated like that. But that's the difference, like you say, between training and just exercising.
I think on a deeper level to that, what's the purpose of the race?
The purpose of, for him, the purpose of the race is, well, this is the interesting bit. So we got deeper into it whilst we were chatting. So the race will give him the purpose to train, and then the training gives him the health and longevity benefits that really ultimately is what he wants.
Mm.
And he's not getting that when he doesn't have that down as a goal. So his purpose, I suppose if you like it, his purpose at the minute is work. He loves his work though. It's not like he hates his job, and so he laments those 70 hours. He absolutely loves them, but he knows that to perform optimally in his job, he needs to be healthy. And with that is sport and exercise, which then is running and going to the gym, which is driven by the goal of a race.
Nice. Yeah.
So it might look superficial that to train, he has to have a race at the end. Like the carrot is not big enough just to be healthy and be motivated, perhaps, but guess that's the way some people work.
Mm. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing though, is it? Because it's not necessarily, he doesn't really care about the performance in the race, but that is enough to drive him to train.
Yeah. And I think it's something that certainly I was a younger coach used to fight with people, was like, your purpose has to be performance driven, but it's just not the case. Like if the purpose is to get you out of bed, let's say on a Tuesday morning, and feel like you've ticked a big box by not snoozing your alarm, getting up, getting to track, let's say, doing the warm up and then giving it your best shot. Like, don't worry if the paces are off. That's not the purpose of why you've come. The purpose is to start your day on the front foot or whatever day of the week it is. And I think it's important for people to understand that everybody's purpose, let's say, or goals can be different, and you should try to understand them first before trying to put across what you think of them, of what they're doing. We've had this at track before, right? It's like coaches have been shouting at someone to run faster or, you know, run in better form or whatever. And then their coach has been like, by the way, they're just here to just be here. Don't worry
leave
about
them alone.
Yeah, leave them alone. It's like, oh yeah. So the context of it is key. And I think that's where you have to have a bit of honesty with yourself. And like, we see it a lot, don't we, with clients who, let's say, used to be, because we have really, thankfully, we have clients who's been with us for years and years. So we watch them sometimes start families, go from being single to being with someone, suddenly having a kid, maybe even two kids. And the purpose of when you met them of why they train has completely changed mm-hmm. to 4 years down the line.
Yep.
And it's like, stop trying to train how you used to, because now it's all changed. So your purpose has gone from trying to, whatever, rinse yourself on a weekend and get on the podium of a race to keep showing up, to keep your habitual sort of training program going, and making sure that you can go home after a Saturday ride and spend time with your family and not go home and just be cabbage on the sofa.
That happens a lot though, isn't it? People like to compare their training with previous years, PBs, mm. and even if it's 5, 10 years ago, you know, I ran a 250 marathon in 2011, but I'm not there at the minute. Like, who cares about that? What did you run last year? What's the best run you've done in the last 6 months? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very easy concept to talk about, but quite a hard one to execute on.
Yeah, yeah, actually, well, let's go back. You just said to me 10 minutes ago, I want your why your goal should be to beat me. And if you think, so my purpose at the minute, or my training logistics, if you like, I don't have a performance-oriented goal in, I don't want to go to Hammam and win it. I want to go and enjoy it. And so my training at the minute is revolved around just having a really good time. Not that I don't enjoy training anyway, but there's no sessions in my plan at the minute that I do not want to do or that I'm not looking forward to. And so what that looks like is speed on the Tuesday, doing CrossFit classes with the community 3 times a week, and then a tempo run on a Friday, and then some mountain biking or some easy running in between that I just get out and go into the sand and have a good time.
Mm.
And for now, that's perfect.
Yeah, because your purpose is to almost not have a purpose, but to have fun. And then that means that when you show up, let's say to a tempo run on a Friday, and let's say you can't hold the pace of a group you were hoping to, you're happy to drop back and be with another group and just have fun with them, whatever that looks like.
Exactly.
Chat, some jokes. So you're not getting frustrated from it. And same at track. It's like if your purpose is to just be there and run as a session of your week that keeps you on track, like don't stress about your pace or what group you're in. Last week you were in this group and this week you feel like you need to be in this group. Like just remember why you're there. Smile. If it's there to have fun, you have fun. But if you're there to be a certain pace to make sure that you've got the stimulus you want for the week, focus on that. So wherever you're going with your training, as long as there's a purpose there, and if you don't have one, that's the biggest thing to fix, rather than trying to fix everything else. And I would start there. Start with why, and everything else will usually fall into place with it.
You don't have to rush the why either. If you don't know the purpose right now, that's fine. Take some time, think on it, come up with some ideas, try some things out. If you don't like, you know, you think your purpose might be to run a marathon, but if you start a marathon training block and you're not enjoying it, that's probably not your purpose. You're going for the wrong thing. Try something else.
Yeah, so catch yourself. Even if you start a training block, let's say, and it might be for the wrong reasons, being open to catching yourself during it. Don't just think, oh, I've started it now, so I need to see it through.
Yeah, totally.
I like that. I thought if people are maybe not aware of where they are in terms of do they have purpose, do they not? I think there's the good old classic principles of training. If you can go through those on a bit of a tick list and apply each one to your current training plan, you can start to understand if you actually have a purpose there or not. I'm going to test you. Do you remember the principles of training?
There's an acronym for this, isn't there?
Yeah.
Tell me the acronym.
SPORT.
Okay. We've gone through this before. Actually, I feel like I've cheated because I saw your notes and I wrote them down. I would have got I would have got 4 out of 5.
You wouldn't have got the T.
No, I wouldn't have got the T.
Yeah.
The R I would have used, yeah.
All right.
T. Yeah, go on then. Do you want to run through them?
Yes.
Specificity. We love that word.
Yeah. And I think it pulls back nicely to what we were just talking about, purpose. So if you can nail exactly why you're doing the session and what for, then you've got specificity down. And that can go from this session is I'm running a 5K and the point of this session is to be specific with my 5K pace.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a 5K pace session. And obviously, when nothing's more specific than specificity.
We talked about this in our meeting this morning. This tomorrow, in fact, we have our multi-duration test.
It was yesterday, actually, because this comes out on Wednesday.
Correct. So people will have run their multi-duration test, and everyone that's run it should know the reason why they've run it.
Yeah.
Are they running it because we want them to see if they can, well, they're going to break mentally on a 3K that's pretty much close to max effort? Is it to get their winter paces? Is it to test their, whether they can negative split? Whatever it might be. It's, do they understand the session and why they're doing it? And if they don't, they should definitely ask.
Mm. Yeah, I think all our guys know. And the ones who don't need it aren't doing it.
True, yeah.
P?
Progression.
You don't know about progression in your own training. I figured that out. But it is important. Because I think if you're, and here's why it's important for, say, someone who is looking to just have fun, is like, fun carries on through not just one session, but let's say a continuous cycle of, for the next 3 months, I want to just have fun. Well, if you jump into a session early on that's far too advanced or progressed for you, you're not going to be having much fun 3 days later when you're still sore from it, and then you can't, and then you miss a workout because of it, and you miss a week because of it. And on the other side, if you think, oh, I'll just run with this group every day, and this one comes up at the end at T, and it doesn't progress, you will start to become stagnant, and actually you won't be making any progression, not just in your fitness, because humans like to make progression or feel it at least, but you will start to think, oh wait, why am I doing this again? So you have to make sure that you're looking at those sessions and figuring out, is this progressing me, or am I standing still with it? And that progression can mean 5K today, 6K next week. Like, it doesn't mean you have to be getting faster, let's say, in paces. It could be distance, could be frequency of sessions in your week. Well, distance is volume, intensity. Like, there's so many ways to see progression, but I think it's important no matter what you're training for.
And it's progression over time. It's not going to happen overnight. So when we do, let's take that testing block that everyone ran yesterday. We don't test that every week. It's, well, would you program it every 8 weeks?
Yeah, around that.
Around that. So in 8 weeks time, you should see some progression in your paces if you are working towards getting faster.
Yeah. And even if your goal is fun, fun means you're turning up regularly. Mm-hmm. You will get better just turning up regularly.
Yep.
O?
Overload.
It's like a GCSE tutorial.
What is overload?
Overload is when you do something a little bit beyond your comfort zone. You are overloading yourself. And that's what actually, when we then recover from that, that's how we get fitter. So that goes back to progression. And they're very close. Some people can get them confused. But overload, again, can happen in volume, intensity, time, or type. Or frequency as well, sorry. So maybe you were running 3 times a week. Once you get comfortable there, you can go 4 times a week, and that fourth session can be enough to overload you to get fitter. Mm-hmm. Or you add in, maybe it's faster paces. So even 5 seconds per K, let's say, over a 1K interval could be enough to overload you, which then means you have deeper recovery, which means you then, it's amazing, your cells start to send out higher signals that say, well, that stressed us. We need to make more cells to handle what load. And that's how we get fitter. So your body makes extra cells to deal with whatever the overload that it is that you gave to it. But it has to happen progressively. Yeah. You can't just say, let's go lift cars and we'll just get stronger overnight.
I think with that, the caveat to that is the training is the stimulus and the adaptations don't happen during the session. They happen during the recovery phase. So if you're overloading but not then increasing your recovery, then it's not going to work.
Mm, good point. The other one here in Dubai specifically, a running week, let's say you run 50K in a week in wintertime, you could run exactly the same 50K in the week in summertime and the overload would be from the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we get sixth overload. Yeah. Ah.
Reversibility.
If you stop training, your fitness levels will drop, but this is over time.
Over time, yeah.
Chronically.
Again, it doesn't happen overnight.
And again, it comes back into knowing your purpose, knowing what's realistic for you in your week to train, and understanding if you run once on a Monday and then you don't run again until the following Monday, you're probably starting where you left off.
Yeah.
Or maybe back a little bit. The other side to this is if we get to a point where we injure ourselves, or get sick and take off more than, let's say, 5, 6, 7 days, reversibility will also start to take place. So that's why we need to respect the SP and the O and understand how reversibility works. You can't just train yourself till you drop, then take 2 weeks off and think, oh, I'm fitter now again.
So the idea is you want to get you want to give yourself enough training stimulus or enough overload that you're making adaptations with enough recovery, but not putting yourself to the point where you get to that reversibility stage where you get ill from overtraining. I mean, illness is going to happen, but you don't want to get ill from overtraining to then put yourself back where you were before.
Yeah. Yeah. Illnesses do happen, but I think you can, there is a good way to prevent them, and you are more likely to get ill when you're stressed, overtrained, tired. You know, your immune system is also being affected if you're feeling tired. It's not just your eyes, your muscles feel tired. Your whole immune system and nervous system is also telling you it's feeling tired.
What do you think? This is maybe a side note. People that use tracking wearables to monitor their resting heart rate, their heart rate variability, their some of them have a sickness score as well. They're using those. They love using them day to day, but when the watch tells them that they are under recovered or they should not push hard, but they go and push hard anyway.
Yeah.
What's the point? Or where do you start using technology versus not using technology to help you with this?
Yeah. Comes back to purpose probably, doesn't it?
Comes back to purpose.
It's interesting. We've got, Boz and I have got these Ultra Human rings now, and she got sick like 2 weeks ago, and she's like, I knew I was getting sick. My ring was telling me, but she was still training.
Still training. And
it's
yeah.
But now she knows that it will tell her. She's like, I'm more likely to trust it now.
So was it the first time that it told her that she was getting sick?
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, I don't.
Body temperature went up, resting heart rate went up, and HRV dropped. And it was like, you're getting sick.
And she just went, I don't
believe you. Cracked
on. I don't believe you.
Because her purpose was to train for a race.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they're only as good as the person reading the data, right? Like anything.
And how much weight you put in that data. Because quite often, I remember, well, ages and ages and ages ago when I tried the Whoop for 6 months, and it said, I'd wake up some days and it'd say, your heart rate variability is, well, your performance to train is poor. You should really relax, take it a bit easy. And I thought, nah, sod it, I'll still go to track. And had some of the best track sessions. So I didn't put much weighting in that day-to-day metric. I don't recall ever getting sick when I was on it. So I don't know if there was any long-term numbers where I was back-to-back not recovered.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But you've always been focused on fun, right? Mm-hmm. Like you've done some incredible things that have taken a high performance amount of effort, but you've never been solidly on high performance because of the way your life has worked out, right? So you'd rather ignore Whoop, have a coffee, get to track, dance around the place and have a great time. That gives you purpose.
Yeah, that fuels me more than sitting at home on my own.
Yeah, exactly. If we left you home on your own and said you can't come to track because your Whoop says you're not, you know, whatever, subpar, and you'd actually probably then feel worse and more likely to get sick, I reckon. It would stress you out more.
Definitely stress me out more.
Yeah. Should we try it?
No.
But if you don't know what your reason is, and you've got your Whoop telling you to relax, and you've got your coach saying, come on, come to track, and your mind and your mates are saying, come on, you're stuck in the middle. What do you do?
I think more often than not, people would come.
Because most people who we're coaching and most people listening, your purpose should be about consistency, fun.
And that's what we're pushing, yeah.
Generally having a good time. So do you really need...
But if you are sick, please do stay at home and don't pass it on to all of us.
Last one, mate, which I think probably is most prominent to you.
Boredom.
This is why you love CrossFit, isn't it?
Because it's constantly varied.
Yeah.
I like... Do you know, I was thinking... same thing. I was thinking why... When I'm... whilst I don't have, if you like, a high performance goal or I'm not training for anything... I said, it sounds really cocky to say it, but 55K is quite short. But whilst I'm not looking for anything really hard in the near future, why don't I do my own strength block for 3 days a week? And it's genuinely because I like being around people. And I always like the style of CrossFit. I like all the movements. I like pushing hard. I like lifting heavy weights when I need to or when I can. Granted, my weights are not as high as they used to be, but I just like that style of training in that environment. So I think that's why I can consistently stick to that. Whereas if I had to go do 3x8 back squats on my own, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
This stage.
But when you were training for Spartathlon,
yeah,
you were doing the same strength session
over and over and over again. Yeah.
Because?
Because of purpose.
Told you, mate. It's a guarantee to endurance success.
See? We keep linking this back. We haven't prepped this.
No. Well, I have. You definitely haven't.
Hey, I've got 2 pages of notes here.
Yeah. I think it's really, really key. And it's something that we do really well here, I think, as a endurance community. It's, if you're on the community program, you've got a different way of nexting yourself every single week, but they all have a reason behind it. So you know Friday, you're going to always have a kind of tempo run. But there's many ways that we achieve that. Same with Tuesday is always going to be a hard run. Again, many different ways that we could say, right, the next 6 weeks is 400s. You know, and that, a lot of track clubs do that. This week we're working on, or this next block is working on aerobic speed. So it's 400s for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Or in early season, it's even shorter. And then you build out as you go. Whereas we know that's not what always gets, can get results for sure, but it doesn't always get the most amount of people turning up. Mm-hmm. So we mix it up a fair amount. Having said that, the last 3 weeks we've done over unders, but we've gone from 1.2Ks down to 600s. And now we're going 800s up to, I think, 1.6Ks. So we've always got a method and a reason behind it, but we're really aware that we're trying to stimulate people's brains as much as their fitness levels. So we have to be variable with it. And that's why you change up location of your trail camps. It's why we have, I mean, actually one thing doesn't change too much because it's harder, but like riding here, Al Qudra, but I think the coach knows when the athlete knows when, you know, 2 weeks of riding the stick and loop is enough. Let's try and do one of the extensions or let's do some sets and things. So tedium is a huge part to it. And if you're falling into the trap of the same thing, or you're looking at your program and you're thinking, this doesn't excite me, just pull yourself back again to what your actual purpose is and why you're doing it. Because if the program says the same thing, but you know it's going to get you the results that gets you the result in the race, it won't look boring to you. Mm-hmm. But if your program looks boring to you, despite knowing that it'll get you results, you might want to rethink what your actual purpose for it is. Is it to be entertained in your training week on week, or is it purpose within results of the race? And normally it's the latter there, the former there.
You might find that it might be a single type of session that bores you. So I know I love running easy, long, steady runs with a group of people, and just, you can chat. You might not chat anything useful, but you can just chat away and just sort of share the long run together and maybe learn something new about somebody. If I know people that love to do their long runs on their own because they like that freedom. They just like to run in silence. And that's cool as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people find different things tedious and others don't.
So if your goal is to run with a group, have good chat, and generally just enjoy yourself, do you need to take your watch?
Not necessarily, no.
Good challenge for people.
We talked to Prim about this. Prim came to Coffee Run 2 weeks ago. It would be, yes, 2 weeks ago. I'm getting my days messed up. And he came with his phone. Like, why have you got your phone? He goes, I need to log it. Like, why? He went, I don't know. Good question. But I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
So he ran with his phone. And he said afterwards it annoyed him that he brought his phone.
His phone. What are you doing, Prim?
He wished he hadn't have brought it.
I thought he was doing Tube Girl. Yeah. And I wrote something last week called Lighthouses, Not Harbors. And it's very similar to that, is stop thinking what the end is and start thinking what you can do to make you basically a better person along the way. So Monday swims, I don't put my watch on with you guys because my purpose is not to get there and be better at swimming. It's to just swim and have fun, get some vitamin D for the day.
I mean, not that the watch really helps.
Not that it would do anything in that pool anyway. But it's a real challenge for me, and I still catch myself going for the lap button when I'm coming in off times. And I used to not wear my watch to swim and still like push my wrist. And I'm like, this is such a habit that I want to get away from.
This is why you're finishing first, because you're not getting the rest right, mate.
And then going into like, then I train with the Rockstars on a Monday now. And like, of course there's no progression for me. I do one session a week. I don't even know what the session is until I turn up. But I just remind myself, I'm here to spend time with the people in the room, not to try and PB my split jerks, which Krios was shouting at me today for not lifting enough weight. So yeah, it's very interesting to self-assess yourself.
So, okay, is you have access to swimming with, for, well, today, Marcus and myself, for example, and you have access to jump in with the rock stars and lift weights with the guys and not worry about it for yourself. How does the standard runner endurance athlete accomplish that within their own community? As easy, is it?
I guess not. It's going to be one of those things where it's like, as easy as you make it. Depends what you want to be after.
Comes back to purpose, I guess.
Teaching you a thing or two on this podcast today. Good.
Yeah, I tell you who does this quite well, Jeff.
Jeffrey.
Jeff does this quite well. He will go to a session, and if somebody else has a session that they maybe want help with, or he knows that they're going to struggle to run it on their own, he will run it with them. It might not necessarily serve his end goal of training the best way, but it won't hinder him, if that makes sense. So he will go off plan quite often to do other people's sessions to support them, and that's the type of guy he is. He wants to help other athletes. So I guess that's his version of doing what you're doing.
And it's as much, I think, if you're working with a coach, it's as much the coach's responsibility to figure it out with you as it is yours to figure it out on your own. Because as you say, mate, Jeff goes off plan a fair bit, and that could really annoy you, but you understand Jeff's purpose.
Yeah.
So you support him and you tell him like, yeah, if you do that and not this, then this will happen. However, that's right for you because you want to do it. And if you want to do it, you'll turn up and you'll do it. Yep. And you'll put your energy into it. And so don't worry, it's not what's written in your program. Crack on.
At least he asks this time. He used to not ask and just tell me after, but he does ask.
Yeah. And as a coach, you shouldn't be fighting it. You should just be interested to figuring it out.
But and the thing that he has, which is, if think about that, that could annoy you, but over time he has the consistency, so he is training consistently. He does the sessions that are, if you like, the non-negotiable that we have to get done to edge towards his goal, but there's flexibility within that week to go and serve the purpose which he has, which is being social, to be part of the community, to support other people, to have fun, to enjoy it. And if that's that element of the training, then it works very, very well.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Good example.
We have a Jeff Award. Yeah.
We do.
On the reverse to that, I have someone like VK who wants to podium and get a world champ slot in Bahrain. Mm. And the program has become very selfish to him. And he asks, can I do this with those guys? I'm like, no, stick to what you said. Because remember, your purpose was to get world champ slot for 70.3 worlds. So again, it should direct your training where it's going, and it should direct the coaching in where it's going as well. And when those two things align, that's when it works the best.
How does he take that when you say that?
It's challenging. Mm. It's challenging, but that's where the power of conversation happens, being open with it.
Yeah. I guess if the goal is that strong for him, then it might be a very easy decision when he reflects on it. Actually, yeah, that's true. I need to achieve my goal. I need to do this. So I have to be selfish and do my session and not their session.
Yeah. And nothing lasts forever. So it can change.
Yeah.
So recommend you go away, even maybe while you're listening to this or afterwards, and just sit down with a bit of pen and paper and write out what you're actually doing your training for. What do you enter races for? There's only two things really. And take our sport acronym, which isn't ours, we didn't make it up, but it's very well known, sport acronym, and see where that fits into your current training. Are you ticking all those boxes? And if not, and you feel a little bit lost, we're here for a chat.
Definitely.
200 shows down, mate. What are we doing for the next 200?
We have the next four planned. They're in Airtable ready to rock. More of the same, I think. More of the same.
And our purpose of the show is if our one listener, your mum and my mum's listening, if they're getting better.
My mum stopped listening.
Just mine left.
said she stopped understanding what we were talking about. So we've lost a European listener. The stats will be down.
But if one person's getting better, that's our purpose. And that's why we continue to show up every week and do the show.
People do send us messages actually each week saying they've taken a snippet from the show. I spoke to someone recently who had listened to one of the shows, reached out to people within the show, and it had made their life better, which is also very, very cool. So the people we talk to or the people we talk about, people are listening, talking to them, and enriching their lives.
Oh, enriching their lives.
Great. We're making people better at life through endurance.
What it's all about. We'll be back next week. We've got the skinny guy on the show.
Are you filming that in a 10?
To be decided, mate.
Okay.
Or TBD in the marketing world. And then we have a very interesting conversation with Colin from Oakley coming after that. And then you looks like you're taking over, mate.
I put two shows in. Oof. Actually, I made some notes for today's show. The 7 core components of a successful endurance performance. Maybe that'll be a show that can be filmed too.
Your mum will tune back in for that one. Excellent. Guys, there is a lot going on at the moment. We are trying to be as much things as we can be. If you do see us, come over. Please say hello. We love hearing from you. And if you would not mind going and sharing this show on whatever platform you listen on, just share it with one person and then head over to the... Normally, there's a pile of stars that help you review the show. Click on that. Give us whatever you feel the show deserves. And then click save.
I'm nodding. Yes, please do.
Thanks very much for listening.
Have a great week.